Spring Fest is happening now at Lowe's. Keep the spotlight on your yard with Stay-Green Premium 2-cubic foot mulch, 5 bags for $10. Plus, when you want more help indoors, get up to 40% off select major appliances that help you supercharge your chores. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 4/22 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details. Mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome or welcome back. Sometimes, you know what? This might be your first time watching. And if it is, welcome.
That's very true. If this is your first episode of Tea Time,
you're late.
You're welcome. And also go watch all of the other ones because we got a lot of them. Hey, babe.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Hmm. Anything cool happened to you this week?
My wife bought a baseball cap, and she decided to wear it today.
Do you like it?
Yep. I think it looks really good on you, and I like your pigtails the best.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, you put a hat on.
I had to.
I like your hat. What does it say? I can't read. Disneyland Paris.
I'm always
92.
On brand.
Have you been to Disneyland in Paris?
I have, multiple times.
How is it? I've never been to Disneyland in Paris.
I have to say, Disneyland in Paris' rides smack for me. They are fire.
They're different than American?
They're different than American rides. And yeah, I really like it. It's a smaller park,
yeah,
but it's fun.
What's the best ride there?
Oh my goodness, I had so much fun on the, was the turtle ride from Little Nemo.
Oh my God, cute.
Yeah, it was really fun.
So I know that you don't want to go to Disneyland here. We haven't been to Disneyland together.
Right.
People should know this. Fun fact. I was not a theme park kid really growing up, so it's not really like in my body. And I know you don't really love going.
Yeah, I went to a lot and I performed it a lot throughout my childhood.
But I'm wondering, if we did like Disneyland Paris or Disneyland Japan, would you be more inclined to go with me?
Most definitely, because I've never, it's out of the country, and especially Japan. I haven't been to Disneyland Japan, but I would also like to go to the theme parks in those countries that aren't necessarily from Disney. I think witnessing other cultures' ways of fun and excitement and recreation bring me more joy than going to Six Flags over and over and over again, and I've experienced it from behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, and all the rides in between.
I got stuck on a roller coaster at Six Flags.
Nightmare, never doing it.
Again.
Never again. Please tell people about that experience.
For sure. So I'm on this roller coaster. It's me and my dad. It's called Colossus.
We know that.
It is a wooden roller coaster. And because my dad worked at Warner Brothers and Warner Brothers owned Six Flags at this time, they had closed the park down and opened it just for employees of Warner Brothers to have a holiday party. My dad and I are the only two people on this roller. Well, actually, there's two people in the back and then my dad and I in the very front car. We tick, 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 tick up. We come here ready to drop. And the roller coaster goes.
No.
And we are stuck.
Not doing it.
On the fucking roller coaster.
Never gonna do that.
With blood rushing into our heads.
Hell,
I don't
no.
do upside down. I don't do any of that shit. But instead, I'm just here hanging.
Looking down.
Horrible.
Colossus has to be about, I don't know, 2,000 feet up.
I don't know if it's 2,000.
It's definitely 37,000 feet up.
It's, you know what? Let's take it all. It was 50,000 feet.
It was 50,000 feet high.
Hanging
yeah.
by my ankles.
50,000 feet in the air.
50,000 feet in the air.
It's crazy.
And I said, never again.
Immediately,
and
no.
And then I flew down. Yeah, so I mean, roller coasters are not like really my thing or your thing.
I like bumper cars. I like fun, like the arcade section.
Yeah.
I like the rides that you sit in a stationary, movable seat.
Yeah.
And puppets show me things while I'm just rolling through a creek. Or what is that? Pirates of the Caribbean. Great.
Small World.
Oh, fantastic.
Same. Jurassic Park for me.
Immediately.
Jurassic Park is my favorite.
Love it.
Because the smell, the energy, it just the dinosaurs.
And, you know, Universal, even though their ride game is not as comparable to Six Flags, they're... What would you call those? They're like... What they're not called... They're just...
They're like attractions?
Attractions. These attractions. I love attractions.
You love an attraction.
I love an attraction.
We recently were driving... In LA, and what the Slime Museum, that kind of feels like an attraction. This is why we're married, because we kind of want to do the same things.
Yeah, we want to do things that either extremely old people want to do or extremely young people want to do.
We want to like veg on the couch.
I want to go to the Balloon Museum.
Oh, we want to put our hand in that pot and tell us what we're talking about.
You could do it, babes.
Today on Tea Time.
Today on Tea Time, we are talking about...
Da 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 da! Advice,
like, that we have for people or that we've received or just in gins?
Both. I have these nifty cards and I'll ask you a question.
Oh, no. My wife got cards.
We're official now.
We're super official. No official person who has cards also calls out the cards as much as I've called out the cards.
At all.
They're supposed to be here. It's like an invisible thing. Baby, who is your go-to person for advice?
I don't think I have a go-to person for advice. I think I choose... someone in my roster that I know might have gone through a situation or that I know would have sound advice in a situation. I don't have a go-to person for everything.
That makes
sense. What about you?
Same. I don't think that I really have a go-to person. It's situational. Mm-hmm. It depends on like what's happening, what the conversation is.
Yeah.
And then I kind of assess and figure it out.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you remember one of the best pieces of advice you've ever been given?
The best piece of advice that I ever got was, you can't be fat and mean.
Who the fuck gave you that piece of advice?
My mom.
I knew that.
Can't be fat and mean. You have to be...
So you can be skinny and mean.
You can be skinny and mean.
Or fat and happy.
And fat and happy. But you can't be fat and mean. All right, mom.
Care to expand?
No. And I didn't care to ask to expand. I think it's very self-explanatory.
Correct. So you got nicer. I guess that's what that
means. I got skinnier.
Oh, you got skinnier. Shit. Fuck. Sorry. That's rude.
I got skinnier so that I didn't have to shave.
Oh my God, babe. Any other pieces of advice?
No, that one trumps it all. No. Another piece of advice is to treat everybody with kindness. And it's such a general advice, but especially in my industry, I will expand on this. It's like, you need to treat the person who takes out your trash just as nice as the person who signed your check.
Yes. Period. 100%.
What about you? What's the best piece of advice that your mother has given you?
My mother.
Yes.
To shut up.
Did you ever take that advice?
I never did. No. I guess it can't be the best if you don't take it. That's correct. You know, actually, my mom has given me a lot of good advice. My mom and my sister both have. And my dad has too, actually. I feel like when I am in an emotional spiral or if I'm having relationship woes, my mom is really, really good. Mostly because she scares the shit out of me and then it like gets me back in line. I think that because my mom had her experience of being married and then having like her marriage end, she has a lot of ability to look back and see where she had wishes that she had done things differently. So if you and I are having an argument or something and I go and I vent to her about it, and it has to escalate to a certain point between you and I for me to outreach, number one. But if I do, it's often because I am looking for somebody not to sympathize with me, but to tell me where I'm missing something. I want somebody to give me constructive criticism. I want to hear, like, this is why this isn't working right now, or this is the perspective shift you need. And my mom is really good at doing that for me. And she'll be able to say, like, you have to remember that this is what happens in a marriage, or this is the give and take, or this is how you compromise. And because my mom knows me well and my sister knows me well, they can give me sound advice from their experience of me. And I think that as well as I feel I might know myself in situations, it doesn't seem to matter when it is in a dynamic with another person, because how people receive you, and especially I feel like if you get the same feedback of like more than one person is receiving you a certain way, it probably means you have to sit down and check yourself.
Yeah, most definitely. I think my mom's advice to me is better, though.
It's definitely more concise. It's definitely more to the point.
No, I think that's a wonderful thing that you, one, have the faith in your mother to give that to you. And the fact that she's done lessons for herself because of the fact that, you know, she's no longer with her husband, but she's still giving you relationship advice that you trust. You know, it's a beautiful thing.
Well, yeah. And it's through the perspective of like having had it, then losing it. And there's always things that you look back on.
There's always lessons in that.
Yeah, exactly. And wishing that you had done things differently or thinking that the outcome of something would be greater, meaning like, okay, I just can't stand this person anymore. But then you realize in hindsight that had you just handled the situation differently or fought harder for the right things, you would have maintained a relationship that actually would have been better in the long run. And it goes both ways. It goes both ways for sure. Who else has given me great advice? I don't know. You know what's interesting? I am often the person that people come to for advice. I feel like people will call me and ask me. A lot of my friends seek my advice. Yeah.
Do you ever find that your advice comes from your experiences, or does it come from out of nowhere and you're just like a sound human? / do you ever advise yourself? Being that you have such good advice for others.
It's a mixture of both. I think that my ability to give advice doesn't necessarily come from lived experience, but it comes from being really good at understanding people and motivation, and really good at listening, and really good at being able to say to a friend, like, I see where your struggle is, or I see that you're, you know, like you're right now freaking out about, you know, talking to your boss, and you're afraid of talking to your boss because you're afraid that they might fire you. And let's say that they do fire you, then you're fired from a job that you really dislike. And then you have room to go do something you want to do. That's the kind of conversation I'll have. And then they're like, oh, yeah, you're right. Like, I don't.
So you're a good observer. You watch things from afar, take all of the pieces that they're giving you, and are able to regurgitate to them what is actually being played on the chess table instead of someone who's clouded because their emotions are taking over.
Yeah.
Makes sense. So.
Yeah.
Why do you think advice is always from the elders? Why do you think that we take advice from elder people? And people are going to be like, obviously, because they're older, they've experienced so much. Do you feel like you can get advice from somebody younger?
I definitely do. I think that there is most definitely advice that comes from lived experience and just time. The more that you are on earth, the more that you live, the more people you meet, the more conversations you have, the more experiences, you are able to impart more wisdom, if you will. But there are some old folks who are stupid as shit, who don't evolve, who don't grow, and who are stuck in their ways, and then are trying to impart their own ideas or ways of being on younger generations that don't resonate with the things that they're saying because the times have changed. So I think it is twofold. And I think you can get advice from someone younger than you, for sure.
Yeah. And I like kind of what you were saying. I feel like sometimes when you do get advice from someone that's a little bit grayer on the older on the fringes, they are purely giving you, and this is any advice to be 100, they're purely getting advice from someone from their perspective.
Always.
And what they went through.
Yep.
And even good advice can be bad advice for some people, because it depends on the circumstance. It depends on things. And, you know, someone can say, make sure you look both ways before you cross the street. And that might not, that advice might not work for somebody who's blind.
Well, that's why I said, the thing about my mom, that sometimes her advice, it, like, she freaks me out, right? And then it puts me back in line. What I also meant by that is she's the deeper layer to it is she is projecting her own experience onto me, and her own experience scares me. And therefore it makes me go, you know, okay, just, you know, suck it up, Miranda, or get over it. But that is 100%. That's what happens when people offer advice, which is why I think it's important to have people in your life that you respect or you know that are in that lane that you're going to.
Or at the life place that you want to be at.
Yes.
There too. You know, you get a lot of advice from your parents when you're growing up, and some parents are like, they're rebellious, they don't listen, and this and that. And I know my parents were very, very active in making sure that I did not repeat the same mistakes they did. Mm. So I had to listen to their advice without, you know, fail. And to this day, I'll come up in certain situations and I'll remember the quote unquote advice. And I'm like, that doesn't match now.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't match anymore. And it's not because they were wrong. It's just because they went through that experience in the 70s and I'm going through it in 2025. Yeah. And it's extremely different. So
it is. And I think this is a perfect segue into the next segment of this conversation, which is where we're being asked to offer advice from our audience.
Love it. I love giving advice.
From some of you guys. So well,
let me tell you what to do.
So you guys have asked us some questions via our Instagram, which is It's Tea Time. And let's see. Let's get into it. One question that came up was, what is the best way to cut someone off that you have had a 15-year history with?
Ooh.
Let's see if we can help.
Oh, I'd love to help. Well, first, I mean, I can't ask you and you can't answer, but if you're in the comments, I'm going to give you two kinds of advice. One, if you were in an intimate relationship, and then one, if you weren't in an intimate relationship, right?
Sure.
So which one do you want to do first? Intimate relationship of 15 years?
Yes.
Intimate relationship of 15 years, how to cut them off. You get a lawyer.
And not intimate?
I think what you say to someone that's not intimate, that you want to cut off, that you've had a relationship for 15 years, I'm this person. I'm just going to stop texting. And if they say, what's up, be like, I think our season is over.
Mm.
But I'm also mean.
You are mean. So. Yeah, you have a mean streak for sure. I think that if I had to cut somebody off after a 15-year relationship, I would have a conversation, regardless of it being intimate or non-intimate. I would sit that person down and I would explain my reasons clearly. I would also have, before cutting someone off, I would have had several attempts prior to the cutoff to say to a person, I don't think it's fair to just cut somebody off point blank. I think that you have to inform somebody what isn't working for you, and you have to offer attempts and work at that relationship to see if change can happen, because it always takes two to tango. So if something's not working for you, then you're probably not doing something that is showing up for that person in that way. So you have to be aware. And so if you've reached a point where after 15 years, this is just not working and you've tried everything else, I think you sit down and you have a really honest conversation and you lay out what hasn't changed, why it's not working, and that you have to set this boundary now.
You're so kind. I wouldn't be able to go through that conversation with you. If you set me down and we were just friends and it's been 15 years and you're like, listen, I don't want to be friends anymore, I'll be like, okay, bye. Like, I would leave. I'd be like, I'm not trying to have this conversation with you because I need to go through my feelings myself. So I need to get better.
I hear you. How do you deal with grief? I recently lost my brother and my grandma.
Oh, welcome to my family. You want to go first?
Yes. I think that when it comes to grief, you have to understand that it never really goes away. I saw a diagram once and it was a jar.
It's a beautiful diagram.
It was a jar and it had three different stones in it. And people think that the stones shrink, right? So it was showing what people think grief is. And then the jar stays the same size, but the stones of grief get smaller. And then it said, that's actually not what happens with grief. And they showed another diagram, and it was, a diagram is the wrong word, another drawing. And it was, the stones of grief stayed exactly the same size, but the jar got bigger. And what that is saying is that your grief is never really going to go away. It's never really going to dissipate. What's going to happen is you're going to grow. You're going to expand as a person. So I think you have to understand that grief isn't linear. You'll have good days. You'll have bad days. You'll have moments where you feel like you can't get out of bed. Then you'll have moments where you go through your day and you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about them today. And you just have to ride the waves, and you just have to know that you're not alone in it, that it is a human experience, just like it is to fall in love or be happy or get the stomach flu or get a cold. Losing someone and experiencing loss and grief is just as human and just as normal.
Wow. That was brilliant.
You're so mean.
I'm not. What are you talking about? I'm saying that's brilliant.
I know when you're being sarcastic.
I'm not being sarcastic. That was brilliant. Mine is so ridiculous.
Okay.
Mine is, you're going to have to wake up every day and continue. And it's better to just talk about those people and don't try to hide it. Keep them alive in your brain. And I, for me, losing my dad, my brother, my grandma, and my aunt within the last 4 years, I wake up every morning and do my job. And then when I think of something about them, I give them my time. I give them my space. And I just say, hey, your body's no longer here, but I believe that all spirits are omnipresent when they pass over. So they're watching.
Yeah.
And that is helping me with my grief, because in my body of bodies, they're not really gone. I just don't see them as much anymore, but they're around. So that's actually helping me. I don't know if that's a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it is, but
it's a you're giving yourself comfort.
I'm giving myself comfort while going through it. And then, like you said, some days I'm crying and then I'm like, wow, I'll never see that person again.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, but we had a good day that day. And then I'll keep going with my life. See why I gave you an applause? Because I'm done. And yours was so much more elegant than mine. That's why I gave you an applause.
But trust me, there's someone out there who's going to listen to me speak and be like, what? And then listen to you and be like, thank you, Raven. Understood. So don't worry about it. I am a bisexual male, but I'm not out because it's not received well by gay or hetero people. I feel like it also ruins my chances with women and some men if I'm out. Is it okay to just be me and not label myself without getting accused of self-hate? My sexuality belongs to me. Can it just be that simple?
Oh, we'd hope so, right?
My answer is yes. I don't think that you have to explain your sexuality to anyone. That is your personal business. I think that if you find yourself getting into a more involved relationship with somebody, let's say like you're settling down a little bit and you're liking somebody, I think that it's fair for you to then say to that man or that woman, hey, heads up, I've dated men in the past, I've dated women in the past, I find myself just attracted to humans when I'm attracted to humans. But I don't think from the get-go you have to be, hey, I'm bi.
Yeah, we live in a really weird, weird world right now where we need labels in order to categorize people. And if you don't know what label you are, people don't know where to put you. And sadly, you can just be you and you can not label yourself. But as soon as you get in a relationship and as soon as the real you starts to seep in, you then will have to categorize yourself. And it's sad because that's just the way the world works. If we were in the utopia that I know I live in every day in my brain, I'm not gay. My wife's not gay. We're just humans who are in love with other humans. There's no actual title that we have. I do feel like the gay, and I'm sorry, I do feel like the bisexual human within the LGBTQ plus community, they're kind of getting a bad rap because they have not found a way to fully explain like the lesbian or the trans or the gay man have really come out and said, hey, this is what we are. You know what I mean? It's so gray to a lot of people. And that's unfair for you and your experience. I met a bisexual man the other day, and he knew he was bisexual before he got married. And then he came out to his wife, and it happened a little bit later. And he's going through that experience now. We're talking, and I find it so endearing that his wife had her feels, but also embraces him.
Yeah.
Because
it's really loving.
It's loving.
Yeah.
And there's differences, right? And I think that's something that maybe we have a conversation about on Tea Time before, but bisexual people, like, what does that actually look like? I know before I knew that I was a full-blown old lesbian, I dated men and women.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that I wanted to be married to a woman. And when I was with guys, I'm like, I want to be with a woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if I had to be with a guy and a female at the same time, what would that look like? I'm emotionally better with a woman, and I'm physically better when I'm with a woman.
Mm.
I think bisexual people, like, maybe it's just the sexual part and not the emotional part. you just find where you stand. Maybe you're...
So to answer the question, do you feel like the person does, in fact, then have to say?
I think that if
that they're bisexual?
I think that if you want a true relationship with someone, they need to know all of you, but I don't think you have to start the relationship that way unless you want to. But I do eventually feel like, yes, you're going to have to explain.
So we're on the same
page.
Who
you are.
Got it. Is my best friend shady for not telling me she's 5 months pregnant?
No, your best friend's not shady for not telling you that she's 5 months pregnant. She's taking care of her own mental health and she's really busy right now. She's doing something. She's growing something in her belly. Give her some time.
I think it's a little sus. I think, but it depends on the best friend relationship that you have. If it's like you talk every single day, you are up in that person's business, you're telling her, you know, what happened to you when you went to the bathroom, blah, 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 then it's an interesting thing to withhold. I would be curious as to why. Why? I know that oftentimes people don't want to share the news until they're more confident that everything's good. That's basically 3 months. 5 months, you're well into your pregnancy. You are often showing. So if your best friend isn't telling you that information, I would be really curious in the why of it all. And I'd lean into that question. I would ask her why. Maybe she's scared. Maybe she feels disconnected. Maybe it's her mental health has gone a little bit south in this pregnancy. Maybe she has anxiety. Maybe she doesn't want you to know because she thinks that you won't invite her to the places you have been. A lot of people get nervous when they're pregnant and they're like, I'm not going to be the fun friend anymore. You know, I know people who didn't get invited on bachelorette trips because they were pregnant and friends just made assumptions about them. So my advice is don't label your friend just yet. Don't jump to conclusions. Lean into it. Be curious and don't personalize it.
Yeah, that's a great way. You know, she can have an experience on her own for a minute.
Exactly. Exactly. How do you handle friendships that are not reciprocated?
Gotta go.
I'm with you on that one. It's hard. It's hard to say the gotta go. And I've had so many friends. It's hard for me.
No, that's not difficult.
I've had so many friendships that haven't been reciprocated to the level to which I think I'm giving, but I have two pieces of advice for that. One, if you truly know that that person is not carrying their weight, bye. But if you have expectations of a person that might be out of whack, like you are expecting too much from that friend, make sure that you assess that in yourself.
Because I'm that friend. Like, every friend of mine knows that I disappear.
Yep.
And I might not text every day. I might not text in 3 months. But if you call me, I answer. If you need me, I'm there. And sometimes I'll be like, what up? And I'm always there for them in a good mood. And I'm always there for advice. But I'm not that friend that texts every day and asks what's up. I do that in relationships. I used to do that with friends when I was younger. And it made me drained.
Yeah, you don't have
I got drained.
Space.
I don't have a lot of energy for a lot of people. And I got a lot of people that I know.
Yep.
And I save my energy. So I think that, you, like you said, expectations. Know who you are. Because if you do have a friend that is, you know, not carrying their weight, they must got weight somewhere else that they're carrying.
Yeah.
From someone else. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think we could probably say from all of these questions, the overarching theme is don't make assumptions, don't personalize.
It's not about you.
And be more curious into the experience of the other person to try and figure out your answers.
Yeah. Most definitely.
We're so good at giving advice.
Like, this is amazing.
I really hope this helped you guys, babes.
Like, ask Judy.
Touch toast.
Snap toast.
I'm Judy. Okay. Today, we are toasting to Adam Simmons, who opened a restaurant that employs those who've experienced homelessness.
Yes, Adam.
Yes. And Adam is also a Michelin star winning chef.
Yes.
Who has just opened a new restaurant in Primrose Hill, which is in
London.
Yes.
I did it right.
Good job, baby. It's called Home Kitchen. And everyone who works there has been unhoused or homeless at a time in their life.
It's called Home Kitchen?
Yes, it's called Home Kitchen. And it's in Primrose Hill, which is in London. And yeah, everyone there has experienced homelessness.
I think that is amazing. I think that America needs to take a little educational tour of that place, because just because you're homeless doesn't mean you don't have any talent, doesn't mean you don't have any ambition.
Yep.
And sometimes it's really difficult to live in society.
He's opening two more and another one in the UK and then one in San Francisco.
They need it in San Fran.
They totally need it in San Fran.
They need it in San Fran.
And I think it's really great that he has recognized that there is a population of people that are strong, talented, can work hard, and that they can find purpose in an environment that can be as healing as a kitchen. Because a lot of people who find themselves in some kind of struggle or some kind of confusion in their life end up in kitchens. Got a lot of sober people, a lot of, you know, lost people.
Food
in
feeds
kitchen.
The soul, though, right? You have two brains, your stomach and your actual brain, and food. I know when you eat, mom is like, are you feeling okay? I'm in a bad relationship. Here's a cookie. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
when
yeah,
you feel
comforting.
Sick, you need food. Mm-hmm. So I love that he's doing that. Well done, Adam. Hey, what's on the menu? We're gonna come support when you come to San Fran.
Let's go. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
All right, babes. Well, this has been fun. I hope you all enjoyed getting some advice from us. Don't forget to follow, rate, and review Tea Time wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe to Raven and Miranda on YouTube for video episodes. Bye.
Mom, can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.